And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News, with Paul Hill.
The BBC is to stop making songs of praise in a change that has been described as a nail in the coffin of the country's religious literacy. The broadcaster has made the Sunday worship programme for 55 years, but will farm it out to commercial producers from summer. Religious figures said the move would put the BBC's coverage of religious festivals at risk and has raised fears that Songs of Praise will lose its Christian focus in favour of other faiths. The Right Reverend Graham James, Bishop of Norwich, said, "It's the only regular weekly televised worship, and so without it, it's difficult to see how the BBC will maintain its expertise. That will have a knock-on effect on the broadcast of worship at other times, whether it's in great festivals, or Remembrance Sunday, or those great state occasions when a big act of worship is so much at the centre of it. It's a worry to some of us that it will be another nail in the coffin of our religious literacy as a nation. Others fear songs of praise will cut back on hymns and lose its Christian focus." Tory MP Andrew Brigden accused the BBC of supporting every religious minority except the Christians. The programme made its debut in 1961 and is one of the longest-running worship series in the world. An insider said yesterday the independent production companies that won the three-year contract, Avanti and Nine Lives Media, did so because they proposed further changes. Avanti is known for its music programs and made three Songs of Praise specials in 2013. Nine Lives Media has won awards for its children's program, I Am Leo, about the youngest teenager in Britain to be prescribed hormone therapy to change gender. The BBC insisted yesterday that Songs of Praise would remain at the heart of its religious programming and that essential elements of the show would stay in place. Mark Lindsay, director of BBC Studios, its production arm, said, "We are disappointed with the outcome. Songs of Praise will keep its Sunday slot on BBC One." A source said it will occasionally cover inter-religious initiatives. In 2015, Songs of Praise caused controversy when it was filmed in Calais' jungle migrant camp. The first episode of Songs of Praise, broadcast on October 1, 1961, came from the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Cardiff, featuring soloist soprano Heather Harper. It was launched as an experiment and was due to run for just 6 weeks. There have now been more than 2,300 episodes. In 2011, the BBC show celebrated 50 years with a concert at Alexandra Palace, starring gospel singer Beverly Knight, tenor Andrea Belcicelli, and Catherine Jenkins. Memorable venues include Sydney Opera House, Vatican Basilicas, and even Strangeways Prison in 1982. Many famous faces have appeared on the show, including members of the royal family, Cliff Richard, Andrew Lloyd Webber, and Desmond Tutu. The largest audience was in 1988, when 11.4 million watched the Christmas Day broadcast. More than 6,000 people have signed an online petition calling for MPs to investigate the BBC amid claims it's complicit in attempts to Islamise the UK. Campaign group Voice for Justice UK said the appointment of Fatima Salaria as the BBC's head of religious programming, the second Muslim in a row to hold the post, was deeply insulting. Its founder, Anglican priest Linda Rose, said a recent Songs of Praise episode featuring a segment about the Muslim faith, including Church of England children visiting a mosque, exemplified the Islamization of the BBC. The BBC said Songs of Praise will stay rooted in Christianity and that people should be judged by ability, not religious background. An Irish bishop whose love affair with an American woman rocked the Catholic Church in the 1990s has died. Eamon Casey, the former Bishop of Galway, gained worldwide notoriety in 1992 after it was revealed that he had secretly fathered a son named Peter with divorcee Annie Murphy. A spokesman for the Catholic Church in Ireland said the clergyman died on Monday afternoon. He was 89 and was suffering from a long illness. Ordained a priest in 1951, Mr. Casey went on to be appointed Bishop of Kerry in 1969 before taking on the larger and more high-profile diocese of Galway and Comildica in 1976. A couple of years previously, divorcee Miss Murphy and the cleric had an affair when she had left the US to stay in Ireland following the breakdown of a marriage. The couple had a mutual friend. The relationship and the birth of son Peter was to remain a secret for 18 years and emerged along with the scandal that the bishop had been making undisclosed payments to the US for years. Mr. Casey, a charismatic and respected cleric who is regarded in some circles as being progressive, is said to have wanted Peter put up for adoption. He fled Ireland for the US as news of the scandal was to break, and he went to Rome to resign his role as the head of the Galway diocese. Later, he spent some time in Mexico before taking up a role as a missionary in Ecuador. In the late 1990s, he began working in the parish of St. Paul's in Staplefield, Haywardsheath, West Sussex in England. He retired to Ireland in 2006, and on his return he made his first public statement on the affair in 14 years and apologised. Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama, already has more than 4,000 members, two private schools, and its own radio station. And, if administrators have their way, the wealthy congregation could soon add something that no other American church has: its own police force. With a membership larger than many small towns, Briarwood has asked the state legislature for permission to set up a private law enforcement department to watch over its flock and schools. The bill comes at a time when places of worship around the country are stepping up security, but a church-only police force raises constitutional questions that are ripe for a legal challenge, and opponents worry crimes could be covered up by the church. Experts believe a church with its own police department would be unprecedented in the US. "I've never even heard of this," said Heath Grant, an assistant professor at John Lay College of Criminal Justice in New York City. "From the perspective of security, churches usually have relationships with the local police departments. I don't know why that wouldn't be sufficient." The Birmingham church hires off-duty police officers from nearby jurisdictions to cover its events, but it says there are often not enough officers available to help. Church officials also worry about mass shootings, such as the attacks at Sandy Hook Elementary in Connecticut and the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in South Carolina. The bill was introduced by Republican Representative Arnold Mooney, whose wife and daughter work at Briarwood Christian School. All three of his children graduated from Briarwood schools. "Officer presence is the number one line of defense," he said in an email. 21 of Mooney's colleagues in the Republican-controlled House support his bill, which passed last year but was not signed into law by Governor Robert Benley. The governor did not give a reason for not acting on the proposal in 2016 and has given no indication what he will do this year. In Alabama, a state where religion permeates nearly every aspect of social and political life, Briarwood's presence looms large. In addition to the huge membership and the radio station, the church's schools have nearly 2,000 students from kindergarten through to 12th grade. Their teams, particularly football, soccer and tennis, are known for athletic success. Briarwood also sends missionaries abroad to Asia, Africa and Latin America. Opponents of the bill worry that forming a church-only police department may lead to crimes being covered up. There are also doubts about the department's potential power, how closely it would work with neighbouring police, and who it would ultimately answer to. "It's making the church take the role of the government," said Richard E. Levi, a constitutional law professor at Kansas University. "I would expect that if the law is enacted, it would not be very long before it is challenged." The bill was first proposed after students at Briarwood's high school were arrested in a drug bust in early 2015, which made a splash in Birmingham area media. While church administrators deny the raid was a catalyst for the bill, critics worry that similar instances could go unreported if the church had its own police. "A church structure creates a hierarchy of who answers to whom," said Republican Chris England, a Tuscaloosa Democrat. "The church says the department would mirror those that already exist at many colleges and universities. It would not have a jail or a dispatch center and would instead cooperate with surrounding police agencies if someone needs to be detained," according to documents church administrator Matt Moore provided. "The sole purpose of this proposed legislation is to provide a safer environment for the church, its members, students and guests," the church said in a statement. "Church officers will be trained to state policing standards and have all the duties and powers as other law enforcement, but they will be confined to the church's sprawling grounds in the suburb of Vestavia Hills, plus the church's secondary school in nearby Shelby County. The bill would allow Briarwood to hire as many officers as it wants." Nationwide, many places of worship have added cameras and security guards, but a church with its own sworn-in police department would be unique, said Carl Chin, who authored a book entitled Evil Invades Sanctuary, The Case for Security in Faith-Based Organizations. Chin compiles instances of violence in religious centers through news reports. Last year, he found 246 violent incidents, a 141% increase from 2010. Attackers used firearms in more than half of all 1,457 incidents since he started putting the figures together in 1999. About 3% of all the attacks Chin counted occurred at Presbyterian churches. At a recent Sunday morning service, some of the faithful said they would welcome the added security, especially since state laws do not forbid people from carrying guns in churches. A man jailed for allegedly harassing a Christian couple by posting videos on YouTube has been banned from all churches in the UK. Robert Skinner, aged 55, has been handed a court order barring him from making vile allegations in messages or on social media. He was locked up for 8 weeks and handed a restraining order preventing him from contacting the couple or referring to them again on social media in November. Skinner cannot send messages in any way or use Twitter, YouTube, or any other form of social media to repeat his allegations. He has also been barred from all churches or places of worship, but Skinner said he would not be seen dead in one anyway. Skinner, who has since been released last month, appealed against his sentence and conviction for harassment before city magistrates, but Plymouth Crown Court threw out the appeal and urged the Crown Prosecution Service to consider an application for a criminal behaviour order. A judge and two magistrates fresh to the case have made a 5-year order. Recorder Jonathan Bass asked Skinner, who was representing himself, where he worshipped so he would not be barred from his own church. Skinner of Tamar House in Devonport replied that he did not go to church and would not be seen dead in one. He seemed to accept he would stop making the allegations. Skinner said, "I cannot continue like this. This is destroying me. I feel I have gone as far as I can possibly go." But he did say he would stand outside the old post office in the city centre with a friend holding a sign saying, "Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man." The defendant said he is now locked out of his own YouTube channel and could no longer access it. The judge also ordered the destruction of his laptop, his camera and DVDs, save for some personal films. And finally, a commuter was amused when he spotted 7 nuns on a train platform at Seven Sisters Station. Ben Patey, 33, was travelling home from work when he saw the nuns sitting in front of the Seven Sisters platform signs on the North London Underground. Seven Sisters is believed to take its name from a group of 7 elm trees which were planted around a willow tree in the 14th century. It is thought they may have been planted by 7 non-ecclesiastical sisters who were going their separate ways.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.